We are in a sermon series called Proverbs. We're going through the book of Proverbs, and we're tackling different subjects and topics that are found in Proverbs. And really what Proverbs is, what we've been talking about, is this is God's way of life for us. This doesn't earn us salvation. This doesn't mean that if we follow these rules, God will love us more and have to let us in because our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds. That's not what we're talking about. Salvation is through the cross of Jesus Christ, by putting your trust in him, by putting your hope in him, for asking him for his mercy. He gives that to us freely, which is an amazing thing. But what we see in Proverbs is we see what God is like and what his kingdom is like and what it's not like. And so what we see in this is that by living out the Proverbs, by walking these things out, that it communicates to the world the character of God and the character of his kingdom. And as we become followers of Jesus, we become citizens of that kingdom. And so this is really about like the culture and the value system of the kingdom of God. And so that's what we've been talking about in the book of Proverbs. And it communicates something to us. And communication is an interesting thing because that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about communication. And what we see in communication, I was a mass communication major for a semester in college, so I know all about this. But communication, that's a true story. But communication is the imparting of thoughts, opinions, or information. It's the imparting or interchange. So communication is the imparting or the interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information. And today we're going to be focusing on verbal communication. There's a whole other thing about nonverbal communication, and that actually is probably a whole sermon altogether, right, about our nonverbal cues and how they can honor Jesus. But today we're going to be talking about the verbal side, the words that we speak and the tone in which we say them in this communication. Communication is an interesting thing because we live in a world and a time that's really amazing. I mean, it's really fascinating, all the stuff that we can do, and communication is no different. We live in an unprecedented day and age where we can communicate with the world, okay? With literally the world. We can pull out our phones, we can go on social media, we can communicate with the entire world. It's an incredible age in which we live in. If I wanted to get attention as a kid, I just had to scream louder. Now we can just pull out our phones, right? And we can draw attention to ourselves, or we can communicate different thoughts or opinions or information that's available. And what I found, which is really interesting, and this is what's happening to us as a culture, now we live in a day and age where we can communicate with the world. Now we've developed that it's almost our moral responsibility to give commentary on everything. Okay? We feel like it is our moral obligation to have to say something about everything. We need to make sure that everybody knows our thoughts, our opinions, or information that we may have. Like, this is what we feel like. And we feel like if we don't speak into a situation, we feel like we are sinning in a lot of ways. Like, this is the angst that we develop as a culture. Now I'm not saying that there's not times to speak up, because there definitely is. And I'm not saying that there's not times to say something, because there definitely is. But do we have to make a comment on everything, and do we feel the anxiety that if I don't weigh in on this subject via social media, via the internet, like, if I don't weigh in on this, am I doing something wrong? That's the world in which we live. And that's why we see this whole thing about everybody's got an opinion about something, and everybody has to know my opinion, because by golly, they're going to be better people by just me sharing that, right? Like, if I don't share this, then these people don't become better people because I'm awesome. That's kind of the feel that we have when it comes to these things. And so what we have in this is we have this unprecedented ability to communicate with the world. At the same time, do we really have anything to say? And what we're going to talk about today is, how do we honor God with our communication? What kinds of things can we do that will help us communicate and exercise wisdom? When we express our thoughts and our opinions and the spread of information, are we doing it in such a way that brings honor to Jesus? Are we doing it in such a way that's wise? Because the ways of communication can either be destructive or constructive, right? They're either going to destroy things or they're going to be constructive. And it usually leans one way or the other. Rarely is any information ever neutral, right? Like a piece of information being neutral is a dime has 118 ridges, right? That's actually a true thing. Is your life better for it? I don't know. But we disperse these kinds of things. And so like they're either going to lead to things that are constructive or they're going to lead to things that are destructive. And so we're going to look to the Bible, Proverbs in particular, to see what God says about communication. Now, today I'm going to tell you this. There are so many proverbs on communication. So many. When I was like doing research and developing this sermon, I was like, which ones do I pick? This is a smattering. This just gives you a good, anytime it talks about the tongue or about our words or our mouth, we're talking about communication. And so as you read the book of Proverbs, and we're doing that as a church, a proverb a day in the month of May. Yesterday was Proverbs 26, because it was the 26th of May, brought up one of my favorite Bible verses of all time, Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool to his folly. I just love that one. I just think that's amazing. The imagery is disgusting and true. It's just so good, right? And so today is Proverbs 27, but as we were looking through, talking about Proverbs and what we were going to talk about, communication, this just gives us a good overview, a smattering, if you will. But as you read through the Proverbs, as you think about, anytime it says the tongue or references the mouth or the lips or these things, like you're going to be able to see, oh, this is about communication. I need to hone in on what God says about communication. And so we're going to talk about communication that destroys and communication that's constructive. And so that's where we're going to be today. So we're going to be all over the book of Proverbs, and the words are going to be up on the screen. So in Proverbs 15:4, it says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. This one's awesome, this next one, 18:6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. I just love the Bible so much. I love the Bible so much. Many reasons, but this is one of them. Just his mouth invites a beating. You're just asking for it. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. In 18:21, obviously in Proverbs 18, there was a lot of communication proverbs in that one. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What we see in these things is some compare and contrast, as well as some warnings and some insights into these things. Later on in the Bible, in James 3, it talks about the tongue being like the rudder of a ship. Though small, it can actually steer things. And actually says also, too, that the tongue is a fire that can set on fire the life of someone else with the fires of hell. Like, the tongue is such a powerful thing, and we forget how much damage a tongue can do. It's one of the strongest muscles in the body. It can give life and it can speak death. And so often I think we forget just how much damage it can do. And our thoughts that are maybe not coming out of the tongue, but maybe out on our keyboard. And what studies have shown is that when people have anonymity online, they actually become darker and darker in their expressions. That when there's no accountability to being tied to an actual person, that the things that are said by human beings is pretty outrageous. And we forget how damaging a tongue can be. We forget how damaging the words that we speak can be. Yet we hear all too often of kids who commit suicide because for them the choice was better. It was the better option than the continual onslaught of verbal abuse. We see people that say, I would rather choose death than to endure this anymore. The tongue is a very, very powerful thing. The mouth is a very, very powerful thing. And our words can be so, so destructive if we're not careful. I mean, if you think about the things that were said to you. Maybe think, I don't want you to continue to live in this and relive this, but there are things that have been said to you over the course of your life that have cut deep. Maybe it was someone's offhanded remark. Maybe it was something that was said very deliberately. But there are things that haunt us, aren't there? Words that people said to us, maybe in a moment of anger or in cruelty. But things that continue. The words that we speak can actually change the trajectory of someone's life. It's always interesting to me to watch competition shows, like whether it be cooking competitions or any other kind of competition, mostly cooking the way that I watch them, but because I love Food Network. But what we see in this all the time is people who are striving and striving and striving, and a lot of times it's because someone said something to them back here, and they were like, out of fear, I'm never going to let that happen to me. I'm never going to be unsuccessful. I'm never going to be whatever. And so I'm going to prove to the world that I'm not that was said to me. It changed the whole course of their life. And they spent their days in fear and agonizing over something and being haunted by the fact that maybe I'm not like that or maybe I am like that. And what we see that these words that people have, like a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness breaks the spirit. And you might be saying to yourself, see, this is so elementary, right? Like talk nice to each other. Like, that's really what we're talking about right here in the moment, right? Like, be nice and be kind. Isn't this just elementary? Isn't this like the most basic thing? Like, I got up and I came to church to hear be nice to each other. That's what we got. That's what we came. And I would ask you this. This is very base level stuff, but I will say, and I'm going to ask, how's that going for you? How you doing in this area? Have you actually learned to control your tongue? Or have you just found more socially acceptable ways or even devious ways to run your mouth? That's really the question that we're asking here today, isn't it? Like, have we actually learned how to speak in a way that honors Jesus, or have we just found a more socially acceptable way to run our mouth? Right? And so we don't want to gossip. Right? We don't want to gossip, but what often happens, and this happens in the church, unfortunately, not all the time, but this happens in the church, is instead of saying we're not going to gossip, we're going to couch it, and we need to pray for this person, right? So it's two people, and this person's like way over here. Oh, we need to pray for Jim over here, man. Did you hear about this, 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 and this? Oh, yeah, we should really pray for him. Are they really wanting to pray for him, or are they really just wanting to gossip? That's the thing that we're talking about. Are we doing things that destroy people's lives? Are we doing things that destroy other people's lives? And what we're seeing is often we haven't really matured. We've just found more socially acceptable ways to sin. And our hope through this is that God points these things out to us, that we can reflect upon what he has for us, and that while these things are simple, they are not easy. Okay? There's a difference between simple and easy. Simple is clear, right? Like a lever system, right? That's very simple. You have a fulcrum, you have a board, you have weight over here, and you push over here, right? You create leverage, right? That's a very simple system. That doesn't mean it's easy to operate, right? If there's a lot of weight on one end or the other, like there's not necessarily easy things about this, but they are simple, meaning they're clear, they're straightforward. And I love that God communicates to us this way sometimes, that things are just very straightforward and says, listen, if you run your mouth, you're foolish and you actually invite a beating upon yourself. And so if you're here today and you're like, you know what, I actually really want to destroy people and I really want to destroy my own life. If that's you today, I got some helpful hints, okay? So if you want to destroy your life and you want to destroy other people's lives, here's some things that you can do. Okay. Number one, you would have perverse speech. Perverse speech. What we see in 15:4 right up there. A perverse tongue. So it's interesting if you know what a perversion is. Perversion is to act very deliberately and diligently contrary to what is supposed to be done. Okay? So sometimes you might, in a bout of anger, or you're really tired and you blow up on someone, right? Or you say something you shouldn't have and you feel remorse. That's not perversion. That's sin, and you need to repent from that. But what perversion is to say, not only do I do it, I actually really like it. And I don't care what anybody else says. I actually find great delight in doing this. So a perversion is something that's contrary to the Lord, and you're being very deliberate about it, and you're celebrating it. So if you want to destroy your lives and destroy other people's lives, by all means, read these verses and do the exact opposite of what God calls you to do. That's a perversion. That destroys lives. Next thing we see is foolishness. Foolishness destroys lives. Foolishness, by the way, just a little preview, we have a whole sermon in Proverbs on the fool, okay? That one's coming up a little bit later this summer. That one is just going to be, there's a whole lot that the Bible says about being foolish. And so, but for today's sermon, just know this, foolishness is being unteachable. Foolishness is lacking judgment or sense, right? It's lacking judgment. It's lacking sense. It's being unteachable. And so someone who's foolish just throws comments out in the world and really wounds people. And they're like, oh, I didn't know why that was such a big deal. That was a very foolish comment. If you lack sense, if you lack judgment, it's a very foolish thing. And foolish comments, although it might not be perversion, it might not be a deliberate act against the things of the Lord, foolishness still causes great amount of damage. And I think often the things that haunt us is because someone else said something to us that was very, very foolish. Another way to ruin people's lives and be destructive is to be hasty and to not listen. Right? If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. If you listen to people only so that you can hear buzzwords, so that you can respond to people, and you answer really hastily without kind of listening to all the things, if you rush into things because you so want to fix the problem, a lot of times what happens is you're going to hurt people. If you're just rushing into things and you don't really care, you're just getting enough information so that you can hear yourself talk, that destroys people. It's your folly and your shame to jump to conclusions. And also, if you want to destroy your life and the people around you, by all means, love death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the tongue. We can speak life or we can speak death, and they're both available to us. And if you love it, you will eat its fruits. Which means if you speak life, if you love being able to speak life into people and to honor Jesus with your words, if you love to do that, you will eat the fruit of that. You will enjoy that. If you love death, and people are like, I don't love death, that sounds morbid. Do you love crushing people in an argument? Do you love just dismantling someone and undressing them? Do you take a sick delight in just destroying someone? And we see this, don't we? I mean, there's whole articles about these kinds of things and whole threads on YouTube and Facebook of people just loving death, loving just to destroy people. If you love that, you will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the tongue, and it's what we love. That doesn't mean that we will, even if you love life, it doesn't mean that you won't ever say anything foolish. But if you love life, you will eat its fruits. But if you love death, you will eat of that as well too. There's so many things that we can do to be very, very destructive. The Bible has tons of warnings for us about, hey, don't do this. You're going to destroy yourself and other people. But it also talks about what we can do. What are some constructive things? What are some things that we can do that are building, that are actually helpful moving forward? I'm glad you asked, because there's Proverbs on those too. In Proverbs 13:3, it says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. 16:13, righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. 16, 23, and 24 say this: the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Have you ever had someone tell you they believe in you? Have you ever had someone tell you they're proud of you? Have you ever had someone encourage you and say, I see this in your life, to call it out? You know what? I think you would be really good at this, or I see this in your life. How does that make you feel when someone believes in you? When someone actually expresses it with their mouth, right? It makes us feel 10 feet tall. It's amazing. It's like twice my height because I'm not a tall man, right? But do you remember that moment when someone believed in you? When someone said that you had potential? When someone said, I see this in your life? Our words can sow seeds of greatness in other people. And our words can highlight something in someone's life that they never thought was possible, or maybe they only could have dreamed of, but then someone came along and spoke life into them. Ignite Church wouldn't exist without that in my life. I had someone, a pastor, Mark, from the Journey North in Brainerd, and I met him at a meeting, and we started talking, and he said, you ever heard about church planting? You ever heard about starting churches? I'm like, no, you can do that? He's like, yeah, actually, we should. And I said, great, that sounds awesome. He goes, I think you'd be really good at it. He goes, I think I see this in your life where I think you could actually do this. I hadn't thought about it before then. It changed the course of my life. A 30-second conversation changed the course of my life. And I'm so grateful that he said what he said. We can do that. We have the ability to do that in other people. Not just flatter them, right? It's got to be true, okay? Right? Nobody comes up to me and goes, Steve, you could be in the NBA if you just try hard, right? Like that, right? I could totally see this in your life. I'm like, quit lying to me, right? And so what we have is, it's got to be true. It can't just be empty flattery, but our words and our encouragements have ways to speak life into people that we never thought possible. And the most effective encouragements are the ones that are specific. They're the ones that are specific because they've been observed over a period of time, or maybe in a certain situation where they saw that, and you can be specific in that. Like what is more encouraging by saying, hey, you are a nice person, which is a good thing to say, it's not bad, or to say, when I saw you handle that situation, or when I saw you working with those kids, you were so kind and patient with them. I mean, your heart just shows, and your eyes light up as you listen to these people. Like, there's a difference, right? And so the more specific we can be in our encouragements, the better. And just like if we wanted to destroy people's lives and destroy our own lives, there was things that we could do. Just like that, there's ways that if we want to be constructive, if we want to help other people, if we want to build into other people's lives, if we want to build our life upon something that is meaningful and profound, there are some helpful hints as well that we see in the Proverbs. One is guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. It says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Guard your mouth. Everything that you think doesn't have to be said. I know this is a really foreign concept, right? Just got really quiet. Be like, what? You know, it's really interesting when you learn something new, your head tilts. Like, people just do that. They go, oh, saw a lot of head tilting there. Maybe it needs to be said, but maybe now's not the right time to say it. Or maybe it's not the right avenue in which to say it. There's been times when I've said something in public as a speaker who speaks to groups of people. You know, there's invariably something that happens, and the best thing that happens to me is when people come up to me privately and pull me aside and go, hey, Steve, when you said that, that wasn't super clear, or yeah, I know what you were trying to get at, but it didn't come out that way. That kind of stuff. Or when I've had friends say something on social media, I usually private message them, or better, a phone call, or hey, let's go have coffee, and hey, we need to talk about that, right? You need to guard your mouth. You need to guard your mouth. If you guard your mouth, you're going to preserve life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Next thing we see is speak softly. A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. Now, this could mean the volume of your voice. Some of us speak louder than others. And so not only with volume is true, but also tone. A soft answer is not just whispering, hey, don't be stupid, right? It's got to be soft in its tone as well, too. It's got to be gracious. A soft answer can turn away wrath. Somebody's all worked up, you can have a soft answer for them. Can you keep your head when everyone else is losing theirs? Is the question. A soft answer can turn away wrath. That saves so many people. Our prison systems and our graveyards are full of arguments that turned into wrath that got out of control. What can a soft answer do in the middle of chaos? Turns away wrath. Speaking righteousness, not only speaking what is true, which is important, but also in the tone and language in a way that honors God, okay? Speaking righteousness is not only saying something that is a fact, but saying it in such a way that honors God. There's great reward for that. That's the blessing of kings. They are delight to him. I mean, the rulers and leaders of the world love it when people speak righteousness, not only saying what's true, but saying it in the way that it needs to be said, even if it's an unpleasant truth, even if it's a challenging thing. Leaders love it when you can speak the truth to them, but in a way that brings about the righteousness of God. Speaking judiciously, which means having judgment, weighing these things out. Will this be helpful? Will this won't be helpful? One of the rules that I have for Facebook for me and for social media is I post two different kinds of things. Either it's going to be uplifting, or it's going to be like funny or kind of lighthearted, or it's going to be meaningful. Those are my options, either uplifting or meaningful. When I post things online, this is my filter, right? This is my guarding my mouth. It doesn't have to be yours. I'm just asking that you have a filter, okay? Filtering is guarding your mouth and guarding your fingers from typing things up. So I've typed up whole things before and went, yeah, can't post that, right? We have to have a filter. You have to have some judgment in that as well, too. Also, fun fact, my wife and I share a Facebook account, so people don't know who's posting. That's just super fun to us, okay? So just so you know, if it's got a smiley face, it's going to be Natalie, and if it doesn't, it's probably me. Just so you know, Are you gracious? That's how you build up people's lives, graciousness. It says gracious speech not only adds persuasiveness, you're actually able to persuade people that way, but also to the person, it's like a honeycomb. It is sweet to the soul and actually good for your health. When you can speak life into someone else's life, when you can encourage them, even when you have to say hard, difficult things, to say it in such a way that brings about repentance, that brings about correction in a way that's actually sweet to the soul and good for your health. And you're like, okay, I see the contrast between what is destructive and what is constructive. I see that, but even though I want to be constructive, there's sometimes I don't. And even though I want to do this, sometimes the reality is I just don't want to. I'd actually really want to destroy somebody instead. Where do we get the motivation to honor God? And we find this actually in many places, but one I love is out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. It says this: "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Book of Ephesians is my favorite book in the Bible. I love it. And like all of my German heritage just comes out, and I just love Ephesians because it's neat and it's symmetrical. It's beautiful. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, and 4, 5, and 6, they're actually two parts of this book. And 1, 2, and 3 is all about, this is what we believe about what God has done for us and our who we are without Jesus and who we are with him, and we're adopted into his family and all these kind of wonderful things. And then in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, it says, now all of these things that you see in chapters 1, 2, and 3, now walk in a manner worthy of the calling. It hinges on 4:1 that says, now you believe these things, now walk in it. And 4, 5, and 6 is all about, in light of what we believe, this is how we act. In light of what we believe, this is how we do. It's just so good. I just geek out on it. So good. So good. And so Jesus says, I have adopted you. I've brought you near. I have made you one in Christ. I've forgiven you. I've lavished grace and mercy upon you. Now I want you to go do the same for others. And this is how it plays out in your marriage and in your work and in your family. These are the things that you see. And Jesus also said that people were asking him about what was clean and unclean. And he said, listen, it's not what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean. It's not what you eat that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your mouth that makes you unclean. He said, because out of your mouth, the words that you speak is a reflection of your heart. And so what we see in this, and as we see the contrast between constructive and destructive, what we see in this is that really it's a matter of the heart. This is a heart issue. We need a heart transplant, not behavior modification. We actually need a new heart. And Jesus, through his Spirit, gives us his heart. And when we become followers of him, he gives us his Spirit, and he establishes a beachhead in our heart and then progressively turns that over to be more like Jesus. It's called the process of sanctification. It's this idea of progressively becoming more like Jesus. As Jesus establishes his rule and reign in our lives, he progressively starts to rule and reign in all areas of our life. And so this is what we have. Like, so we say our desire is to build others up. Our desire is to want to communicate the goodness of God. Our desire is to not grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want the Holy Spirit of God to be regretful or sorrowful over the way that we act. It comes down to our motivation, not because it's like because it's a nice thing to say or the nice thing to do or to be good for goodness sake. It's not any of that. What it is going, I want to walk with Jesus, and anything I do that makes me walk away from him, I don't want any of that. I want to stay close to Jesus, which means I have to put away malice and bitterness and rage and slander, because when I do those things, I actually feel distant relationally from the God who loves me and transforms me. And so we put away those things, and we replace them with kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness, because it's a relational thing between us and God, and we see those relationships between us and others. God in Christ forgave you. When you become a follower of Jesus, God, through the work of Jesus, forgives you. The Father forgives you because Jesus paid the price for you, which means every foolish, hurtful, and dumb thing I have ever said has been forgiven by Jesus. Not only my actions, but my words. I can't tell you the relief that is. If you go back and you think through your life and all the foolish things that you said or the hurtful things that you said, like Jesus can forgive that. And that transforms how we live and go, Jesus, what can I do in response out of joy? And he says, be like me. Be kind and tenderhearted. This is available to all people. We can choose the way of death. We can choose the way of life. And whatever we love, we're going to eat its fruits. And for most of us, we want to love life, but sometimes we speak words of death. And that's where we need the work of the Holy Spirit in us to transform us and to continually, every day, bring it before Jesus and say, God, today make me more like you than what I was yesterday. And Jesus is the one who gladly answers that prayer. Let's pray. And after we pray, we'll receive our offering. But let's pray. God, it is so good to know that you are very clear with us about what is acceptable in the kingdom of God and just what doesn't have a place there. And Lord, today I pray that if we're in this place and we understand our sin and we understand the weight of that, that we would put our hope and trust in you, that we would ask for your mercy and forgiveness. And God, for those of us who have made that decision, I pray, God, that we continually, daily lay down our lives before you and say, make me more like you today than I was yesterday. Progressively, God, establish your rule and reign in our hearts and in our minds, God, in our mouths, that you would be the Lord of our tongue and the Savior of our lips. Thank you for laying these things out clearly, and thank you for giving us the answer to the dilemma that we have. And the answer is the cross of Jesus Christ to forgive us, redeem us, and make us whole. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray.